Amen. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. The title of this message is Happy to Be in God's House. You know that you don't have to be bummed out every time. Oh, we got to go to church. Oh, I forgot. We got to go to church tonight. Oh, you know, I could stay home, but I got to go to church. Or your kids say, do we have to go to church tonight? Or maybe you say, do we have to go to church? Couldn't we just stay home? You're really going to feel that during the revival. But if you'll admit it, hey, even sometimes I wake up on Sunday morning and go, get up. You're going to church. Now. But what can our attitude be? What should it be? And I love it that it's spelled out here, and I'm very thankful for it. The Bible says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Remember, Gittith is not a word that is recognizable. Some think it has to do with the wine presses. I'm not dogmatic about these things because there really is no correct translation of it, but that it has to do with the joy of the wine presses when the wine was pressed and they began to harvest the grapes. There's that. Also, some people believe it's just a type of song that was sung or an instrument. No matter, we do know this, a psalm for the sons of Korah. So we know that it has to do with God's grace and mercy, and it's a thanksgiving. It's going to be something about giving thanks to God. The Bible says this, how amiable. How many of you use the word amiable very much? Yeah, not very much. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear. O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God of our shield, God our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Somebody say amen. That verse right there is absolutely the truth. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the word of God that teaches us. Thank you for the folks that are here this morning. I pray you would bless them. Thank you for what you've already done in our hearts by teaching this morning in Sunday school, the songs that have been lifted up and praise given to you. God, I pray that you've been glorified, that our hearts have been right and tuned in. And now I do pray that you'd work in our hearts, that you'd speak to us, that you'd give us understanding. God, you'd speak through me and your Holy Spirit would give me unction and ability because I have no way to communicate this without the Holy Spirit of God. And so I pray that you would take even the words that I say and help them to be applicable and amiable to this message that you desire for us to hear concerning your house. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Whether David is the writer or there is any specific time that this was written is unknown, but there is something that's universal about it, and it's the fact that it's still true. And the truth is that when a person is in love with God, they will look forward to being where God is worshiped, where He is praised, where He is glorified, and they will love being with His people. And that's what this psalm is about. There are three things that are very easily seen here, and I think that we can learn from. But inside those things, there are some things that we need to understand before we can get there. So the first thing, if you look in verse number 4 that we're going to start with, is that a person that desires God and desires to be in His house will be a person that's settled. That's what the word still means. It means my mind isn't busy. My mind is very settled here where it is. I've longed for the time to spend with God. Now, how do you get there? Do you drive to church and just say, okay, God, settle my spirit? No, no, no. When you get here, you should be ready right now, like you are now. Most of you are pretty still. You're not moving around. You should be listening for God to speak to you. Settled that you're in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. But how do we get there? Well, the first thing that he says is, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The first thing you need to be and I need to be is enamored with God. Love God. Not our job, not the music here, not one certain person, but we are looking forward to meeting with God. The word tabernacles is used because it's an idea that the tabernacle moved during the 40 years that it was in the wilderness. And then it also moved at times while David was the writer. Tabernacle is a temporary place of meeting. There was the tabernacle where the ark was kept. There were also other places or tabernacles, later called synagogues, where they would meet with God. You could say this: anywhere this is where God is. No this, no God. None of this, none of God. You can't be settled in your emotions. Never going to happen. You can't be settled in your finances. In this day and age, never going to happen. You can't be settled about government because it's never going to happen. But when you're in here, you can be still. Watch. Still is a person who is listening intently for God to speak. If you're ever here at Vacation Bible School, which many of you avoid it, but I'm thankful for the workers that come, so I want to thank you again for being here, for doing the work. But you know that when our rule is when Bible time starts, when we begin to preach the Bible, we've already done everything we need to do, so we're not leaving until we're done with the Bible time. Why? Because we need to teach people to be still. Well, this is what the Bible says. I'm so enamored with God. Now listen to me. Listen, please listen. This does not depend on the preacher. This does not depend on the person you like sitting next to you or don't. This is not dependent on your ability to process more spiritually than the person speaking. This is about us saying, God wants me to hear Him, and I can't hear Him when my mind and my mouth are moving. Twyla often says, so our grandchildren aren't in here, good, because I'm getting ready to say a word, but she said, be still in the Bible is God's nice way of saying shut up. Shut your mouth. Has she said that, ladies? Shut your mouth. Why? Because we are busy. Come on. At work, we're not still. We always have something to say. Watching the news, we're talking to the people on the TV. That's not what we should do at church. If you're enamored with God and desire to be in His presence, you will willingly sit still when it's time to hear from Him. Now, this is a settled heart, an attitude that says, I have nothing else going on right now. It's me and God. Have you ever been in a building, and this happens to me quite often, where I'm in the building with a bunch of people, but the preacher's preaching and it feels like he and I are having a conversation. He's telling me stuff and I'm going, that's right. Amen, that's right. Do you know that's how you should be every time you come to church? Well, if you were a better preacher, okay, I can give that. But when you come to church, you should be ready to hear from God. It does not depend on me. It depends on your heart ready to listen. I love this because I am so enamored with God. I really came to church today believing that God had something just for me. Well, the preacher never touched on what I needed. Then you missed it. You weren't here for the right reason. Anybody that gets up and speak, no matter who it is, no matter if you know somebody's going to speak and you're going, oh man, you already have the wrong attitude. Well, I wonder what's going to be said today that I can judge and that I can tear apart. One thing that I learned at camp this week, which I desired to pay attention because I don't know, the Lord just really worked in my heart that I needed to pay attention. One of the things that I recognized is that there were people that were really zoned in and there were people that weren't. And you know who didn't bother me? The people that weren't. There were some people there that wanted to hear the Bible. They were like this. A lot of the teenagers were like. And it's not because of what's going to happen next. It's really this. They didn't have a phone. They didn't have TV. They didn't have texting and Instagramming and TikToking and just things to watch on the internet. They didn't have access to any of that. And they had to have something. And it was amazing when they started tuning in. What's amazing to me is that we can come to church and don't we just get tired of it? Here's what David said. I'm so enamored with God. It is so awesome to be in His tabernacles. It is amazing just to be in His presence. I long to be in His presence. The next thing he says here about this being settled is, yea, the sparrow hath found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. He begins now to talk about, listen, his envy for the birds, and I didn't connect this, but much of the temple was open, much of the tabernacle was open, and birds would build nests in different places around the tabernacle. And he's going, I wish I was a bird. I could be there all the time. Here's what most people say. Well, the staff is there. That's fine. Well, the preacher's there. That's fine. I mean, can you imagine wanting to live at church? I saw some of your eyes go. No? Because we do think of it as a responsibility rather than a God-given privilege. That a bird could just fly into the house of God and make a nest and raise her young there? Wow, what does that tell you? That birds are smarter than people. Watch me. Watch. Well, we got this game. Well, we got this activity. Well, I'm sorry, we can't be there for the revival services because you scheduled it wrong. They don't say that, but if it would have been scheduled another time, we could go. When in fact, I don't know when you're going, where you're going. Nobody tells me. As I always say, the pastor is always the last to know. And I'm not mad about it. I'm just telling you, that is our attitude. Like it's a responsibility. David says, man, I wish I was a bird. You know what? People who get to live in your house, now he's referencing the priest. People who get to be there every day and serve you, they're happy. Why? Because they're settled there. They're still there. They can hear from God there. And that's our problem. We're not enamored with God. He is not everything we desire. In fact, He's sometimes, and most of the time in our lives, if we'll admit it, if we'll acknowledge it and be honest, He's not everything he should be, and he's never enough. When in fact, he says he's always enough. Well, Brother Ron, you don't get that at church. According to what David wrote, that happens in the tabernacles. Where do you learn that? How do you should long to be where you know, well, I can sit on the lake and fish. And you can argue it all you want, but that's not what he's talking about. These are specific places of worship. Church, does church matter? It sure does. And you can be happy that it matters. You can be blessed. That's what the word blessed means. You can be happy when you come to church with the idea that God is all I need. He's big enough. He's awesome enough to hold my attention. I'm enamored with him. I would long to be in his presence all day long. He associates being in church as being in his presence. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing if you came and there was it, you felt like you were just sitting here bored to death and I just can't take it anymore? Wouldn't that be terrible? Well, here's what he says. I'm so enamored with God, wherever his tabernacle is where I'm going to be. Wherever he says for me to be, I'll be there. And I'm going to be a part of what's going on. I'm not going to sit around and try to figure out a way not to be part of it. I want to live there. Why? Well, it should be easier not to sin. Although sometimes that's not true. But it certainly should be in our hearts that we would love to stay away from sin here. If you're enamored with God and that's it, you will. Brother Ron, that's the problem. This and this and this and this has happened at Temple Baptist Church over the last 70 years. I mean, blah, 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 blah. That's why people don't come. No, you and I won't come. We'll stop coming when we're not enamored with God. Well, I can go to this other church and it's similar. Well, the thing is that the Bible says that God puts you in the church. Well, I don't believe that. Read Ephesians. That's what he says. Read 1 Corinthians. In particular, we've been placed in the body. Why? Because God wants us to be settled. The second thing he talks about here is satisfied. Now, we're dealing with to give you kind of an overall view, we're dealing with the children of Israel going from their homes to the three times a year that they're supposed to be at the place where God would put his name, is what he told them in the law. Before the kingdom, Solomon's kingdom, and the finishing of the temple, that would have been the tabernacle, and it was set up at Shiloh. That was the place they were supposed to do their worship and their sacrifices, and so that's where they were supposed to go. In the temple days, they were supposed to go to Jerusalem and show themselves before the Lord three times a year. So that's the idea that he's talking about. So he's saying, God, I love it, but he's saying it even this way. I wish it could be every day. Oh man, Brother Ron, we're a busy, busy people. I've heard preachers say they ask how many meetings do you have a year? I said, well, I don't know what you mean by meetings. We meet every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And sometimes we have revivals. So we'll meet Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sometimes we'll go all the way there. And then other times, I said, during our missions conference, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we meet. He goes, how do you get people to do it? I said, I don't. The people who want to show up, this is the truth. The people who want to show up will show up. There are people who want to show up who can't because of illness or something that comes up. I get that. But you will show up where you want to show up. That's exactly the way it was in the Old Testament too. But what happened for the people that wanted to go to the tabernacle or to the temple? What did it look like? Well, the second point, part of it here is this. Verse number 6 says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. So the journey to the tabernacle was over usually more desert places. This is quite a picture. Watch. So it wasn't easy to get there. There were always things in the way. There was a trip that had to be made. There was preparation that had to be made. There were things that had to be done. It was not any easier to go see God then than it is now. Why? Don't things come up? I know, I don't remember if it's somebody. I know who it is, but I don't want to misspeak, so I just won't speak then. That's probably the best way to be, because somebody will say, liar! You've had something come up right before you're supposed to be coming to church. It's not easy. Do you know Satan's never going to make it easy for you to go to church? But you know what God does? Watch. He satisfies you along the journey. That's what that is. So right out in the middle of nowhere, this Beka is a place. It's not a place of wells. It's a place that God makes. In fact, the meaning means in the mulberry trees. And so here they are along the journey. Really, there's no water there consistently. There's nothing there. But here's what David said, or what the psalmist says. I don't know. It could have been David. But the psalmist says this: along the journey, God, when I'm longing for you and I desire to see you, you always satisfy me in the journey. You could say that this, as long as I'm looking forward to seeing God, and as long as I am investing in going to the place where God is always going to somehow miraculously supply my need and satisfy my soul, not only when I get there, but along the way. The idea is that these people were going, looking forward to being there, and so it was easy to satisfy them. They said, God's taking care of us. Look, he supplied water right here in the middle of nowhere. Oh, this is awesome. I get to be in church. I get to go and be with God's people. But God's taking care of me all along the way. When you're enamored with God and when you do things God's way, God does things in you and for you that you can't possibly do in and for yourself. I want you to note here, there's no griping in this psalm. Oh, we are going to go, but where are we going to get water? We're going to go, but where are we going to do this? We just shouldn't go. Well, that's what's going to happen unless you're going, no, no, no. I'm going where God is, and where God is worth the trip. Not only is it worth the trip, but I know that he'll take care of me along my way. Because I'm settled. I'm settled there. He can satisfy me on the journey. And he will. Listen to what it says. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. So when they begin on the journey, they're going, I'm going to go see God. We're going to church. It's not, we have to go to church. It's, we're going to church. We would say to our kids, and sometimes, you know, in the ministry, your kids say, do we have to go tonight again? And you say, no, we don't have to. We get to. We get to go to church. We get to go serve at VBS, although we've worked all day. We get to go teach our Sunday school class, although it's been a long week. We get to preach because we get to preach even though we don't feel good. We're tired. We get to serve because it's a privilege from God. Blessed is the man who's looking at you going, yes, I can't wait for this. Look, I know you're like, yeah, well, you should be that way because you're the preacher. You know how awesome it would be if everybody came to church like, yes, I'm in church. I've been longing for this all week. It's different when you talk to people. It's different to know that God has helped them on the journey and they're satisfied in God. They're satisfied with the journey. They're satisfied with the work that's being done. There's no complaining. There's no nitpicking. All there is praising God. And that's what he does in verse number 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain, you, God, also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. give ear, O God of Jacob. The second thing that he's satisfied in there is not only in the journey, but in the people that are along in the journey with him that are going to appear before God. They all appear before God. Here's what this statement means. I am excited to see. I don't care if the place would be packed, it would just thrill my soul. I'm excited to see the people of God. I'm excited to be in fellowship with them because we're all going for one purpose. We fear God and we want to appear before him. God, please accept our praises, our worship, our sacrifices. God, please be pleased with us. We count this a privilege, and it's not just me going. It's everybody. Oh man, hey, I'm so glad to see you today. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How's your husband? How's your wife? We've been praying for you. Man, I thought about you this week. Just been praying for you. Next person, hey, how's your journey going? How did it go? Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord instead of, oh. Brother Mark touched on this in men's prayer meeting this morning. We used to have several more men at 7 o'clock. And I'm not calling anybody out, so just relax. I'm just saying we used to. Well, he said exactly the thought behind it. It's 7 o'clock. Some people won't make that commitment. Some people say no. But why? What are we doing here? We really just come and pray. We pray for the services. We pray. Relax. I feel the tension. I don't know why. You know what he ended up saying? I just love coming here. Here's what he said. I'm encouraged to see other men here. And so am I. You know, it started, I remember when it started. I was actually here. It started 23 years ago. And it was basically just the pastor and I. And then it was the preacher and me and Brother Bush. And then it was Brother Smith heard, Brother Ivan Smith. And then it was the preacher, me, Brother Bush, and Brother Smith. And it was that way for a long time. Why did you come? Not because I had to, because I was able to pray with people like Brother Smith and the preacher and Brother Bush. I got to be with them. That's what he's saying. God, we're all in this together. We're going together. This isn't a, please listen to me, this isn't a Sunday morning only meeting. This is a, every time that you're, God, every time that we're together, you said we're two or more gathered, Jesus said we're two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. That means right now Jesus is here. Here. Well, that's what I base it on. I mean, if it's me and my wife and one of my children, it's good enough. It's not, he's not talking about good enough. He's talking about investing in other people. The journey involves other people. And there, God, I'm satisfied. I get to see people. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to see people sitting in their faces. It's encouraged in their places and seeing their faces and seeing people listening with intent. It's encouraging. It should be satisfying. Let me just encourage you. If you come to church because you have to, and you're sick and tired of it, and you're just sick and tired of it, either stop and ask yourself why you are, or find somewhere that you believe God is. Isn't that, because what a bummer to come to church and go, oh, I'm going to see Mark Ratcliffe. You know why? Because he's always sitting right there. I know I'm going to see him. Ah, Crystal always sits right by him. She won't sit in the back. When his kids come, they sit by them. No. I'm like, yes. When people are in their place, why? Because I'm satisfied. We're on this journey together. We should be helping one another. We get to help one another. We should encourage one another. The last thing there begins in verse number 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. See, also in the house of God, we enjoy something that we can share with one another that we don't often think about. But think about how safe and secure we are in God. So here's, he says this, you're the sun, you're the shield, he basically says you're the protector. When I come to church, I should feel like I'm in a protected environment because God is here. Now listen, not everybody in the room came for that reason. Let's just be honest. But when I come, that should be my desire. Why? Because God is the protector. He is the sword, the shield, the rock. He is every bit our protector. This is where I learn about him. This is where I begin to understand him. This is where my security for salvation, my security for my future existence in eternity is all based in him. And this is where the tabernacles are, where God's meeting place is. This is where you just put too much importance on church. This is why we have church. God wants us to be happy with each other, and he wants us to at least leave here going, man, I'm so glad I went to church. Instead of, I trust in the Lord, but that was the most boring service I've ever been in. Guy went on and on and on. I could have said it in 4 seconds. Why didn't he use the wrap-up as the whole sermon? That's sometimes how we go. We don't say, what? The more I'm with God, the more I hear about God, the more secure I feel. And you want to talk about emotion? That's what we need. That security. I feel safe. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to come to church and you shouldn't come to church and be afraid somebody's going to call you out and blah, blah, blah. That's not why we're here. Why we're here is to learn more about God and learn that he is our protector. He is our shield. He's our security. And the more I invest in other people, guess what? The more that I let each consider other better than himself. When I'm thinking of others, it gives me a security. I the Lord allowed me to talk to several young people this week that have problem with doubting their salvation. And the Bible spells out why we doubt our salvation. It does. Read 2 Peter chapter number 1. Here's the reason why you're not adding to your faith. That's what the Bible says. Where does it say that? It says, but he that lacketh these things, the adding of your faith, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and forgetteth that he was purged from his old sins. So you doubt. It can't be that simple. See, that it is. Where do I get security? When somebody stands up and said, you know, I doubted my salvation for a while, but then God gave me these verses and it really helped me and encouraged me. And here's what you start saying, God can do that for me too. See how secure I feel? Wait, if God will do it for them, he'll do it for me. Because he cares about me. Listen to what it says. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God. Man, thank you, men who are doorkeepers. Those are the guys that sit out there and they welcome people in. But not only that, they sit out and right now there are guys out of the service being doorkeepers of the house of the Lord, watching cameras, sitting out in the hallway, walking the perimeter. You know, here's what the Bible says. I'd rather be that guy who is considered a low person. I would rather be a doorkeeper than to spend a day, a second, out in the world in the tents of wickedness. Well, of course I would. Then why do you miss Sunday night? Wednesday night. Well, I have things to do. Okay, you're getting mad at the wrong person. The question is, if this is where you, what you desire, well, I don't believe you have the right to say that. Well, that's what he said. I would rather be in here, out there just sitting in security, or welcoming somebody and handing a bulletin to them, or shaking their hand, or even handing them a visitor's card, and not being recognized, being nobody, than to be a big somebody out in the world and live in their tents and have everything you could possibly want in the world. I would rather be a doorkeeper than to be out in the world with everything at my feet. Why? Well, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He likens the doorkeeper to a person walking uprightly. Why don't we come to church? You can blame the pastor. Some do. You can blame relationships in the church. Some do. You can say, there's not a good Sunday school teacher in the whole church. You can. And please listen to me. If you have said that, or I don't know. So don't act like I know. I don't know. If you've said it, and you're like, where to hear that? Oh, I should have never told that person. They told him. No, I'm telling you, the pastor's always the last to know. So do not believe your brain right now saying somebody told him. Nobody told me a thing. As far as I know, no one is saying this. Then why are you saying it? Because I've been in church long enough to know and have said it. It really is the reason I say specific things, because I've said them. Well, then you were wicked. Exactly. He says this, there's nothing outside the doors of this place that is worth the investment of my life. There's nowhere else I'm going to be satisfied like I'm going to be satisfied here. In the presence of the Lord. No. Not just while I'm reading my Bible, yes. Not just when I'm praying, and we do put a lot of importance on this. But the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to need Jesus more the closer Jesus gets to coming. And this is where you feel secure. Now look, I haven't thought of anyone here. This is just the message. So don't say, well, he was preaching right at me. I do not do that. So if you think I'm preaching right at you, I can look at you all in the face right now and say, I am not preaching at you. Read the Bible. The writer of the psalm says, I would rather spend time being a doorkeeper than have everything the world can provide. You want me to tell you who would reinforce this message? People that can't make it to church, who would love nothing more than to be here. And I can name them. People that get the CDs, DVDs, or watch online because they're so sick they can't come to church. And you know what they would say? I've heard it. I love it that I get the DVDs. I love it that I get the CDs. I love it that I can watch it online. And then with tears or a broken voice, they say, but there's nothing like being there. So I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm thinking of those people who would love to be here, who would say, I miss something when I'm not there. It's the reason you're able to drift away when you stop coming continually. Because it's not as important. And the whole reason we're here is not for me, not for fellowship. We're here to hear from God, to meet with God. This is not a plea to grow the church. This is not a plea for anything other than for us to be obedient to the Word of God. Because the Word of God says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth, what? In thee. And evidently, according to our text, that person is the person who longs to be in the house of God. You will only do what you place priority upon in your life. You will only teach your children what you place priority upon in your life. We often say, do as I say, not as I do. But the truth is, your kids are going to do what you do. They will place priority almost exactly the same way you will. And they'll say things like, yeah, my mom and dad didn't believe it was necessary. And so, or they'll say, well, I mean, we did have a lot of other things and this always came up. Well, here's what the Bible says. A person who really trusts in the Lord longs to be where he is. And they place so much importance on it that they'll take the journey to get there. Because there, they can be settled and still and get something that will help them. Because God is blessing them for being there. And they'll be satisfied on their journey, which all of us are on a journey. They'll be satisfied. And God will do the satisfying, not the church. God will do it. And in their lives, they'll be secure because their eyes will be focused only on Him. And then He says this, that person is happy. That person is happy. We have a lot of Christians who are unhappy today. We do. We have Christians that don't want to hear it today. If you come to church and you don't get a little bit convicted, if I'm studying and I don't get a little bit convicted, I'll just be honest with you, it's hard for me to relate it. So it's very few and far between that I'm not sitting there weeping while I'm writing a text or stopping and asking God to forgive me. But that's why I'm here. That's why you're here, is to hear from God. And when I leave here, I should be able to say, you know what? God spoke to my heart today. And so, you know, the person who trusts in Him is really happy. Why? Because there's nothing in the tents of this world that can satisfy me like being with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.